I'm Jason Klom, and this is the Comedy on Vinyl podcast. The year is 1975. The album, Modern Screen, the artist Lily Tomlin, and my guest is Tennille Gusick. Thanks for being here.
Ooh, thanks for having me.
So,
yes,
you weren't sure what to pick.
No, I haven't. Okay,
this is fine.
Upfront,
please.
Honestly, like I absolutely know nothing. Don't get your hopes up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first comedy album I have ever listened to. So
holy
no,
shit.
I didn't know what to pick.
I didn't know we were going
that
deep. Wow. Yeah,
well,
here's the thing. I've had stand-ups on here who are very good stand-ups who have come on and said, I never listened to comedy albums growing up. So you're not alone.
Thank God.
It's just a specific nerd thing of me and like a lot of middle-aged white guys. It's a very specific audience.
Hey, I believe
that's just how that goes. So
I've read the comments. People are like amped on this, and I didn't even know it existed until the marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I didn't even know that this was a thing until that show came out.
There are 600 of them are in here or so.
My God.
Uh-huh. Oh, and by the way, I really want the one from the marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I can't. Am I supposed to say this? I'll tell you off mic.
Okay.
I'll just tell you. There's something. I'm trying desperately to get a copy of it. Like, the least the cover,
right?
Because I really like the cover that they made for it.
Yeah.
And I emailed all the people involved in making it, and I got a little more, like, there's not a lot of dish or anything, but like a little more information about it than I expected.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's more going on in the making of this quote-unquote album than I thought there would be.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
So I'm hoping we can make an episode of that. Anywho, so I picked Lily Tomlin because she's really funny.
She's a woman.
And she's a woman. It's helpful. Not enough people pick women. I don't have enough women guests on this show. That's my fault. And no one's ever picked her for the show.
Shocked. Shocked. Again,
yeah.
Because of like how current she is right now with Grace and Frankie and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you seen Grace and Frankie?
Of course.
Okay.
I've literally watched the first season more times than I care to admit. It was,
really?
Yeah. Especially the pilot. The pilot's perfect. I even got my like super Midwestern anti-everything family members to watch it, and they're all obsessed.
Really?
Yeah. My sister, who doesn't binge watch anything because she has children, like binge watches it and is like, when's the next one out? And I was like, I don't know, fucking year? Do I work for Netflix?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, they're obsessed. I love it. It's great.
Well, she's a genius. Now, have you seen, what's your experience with Lily Tomlin before that, though?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No,
oh my God.
I hadn't even seen 9 to 5 until like a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see Lily Tomlin. Out and about, well,
what?
Not out and about, I saw her at a play that she actually was in forever ago over at, like, the LGBT theater, and it was, like, searching for signs of intelligent life in the universe.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Apparently she did it as, like, a one-woman show.
That's right, yeah.
And I had no idea, because you watch it, and it's, like, 15 different characters.
Right.
And they're like beautifully crafted. And it's like a long play. It's nothing short. But
yeah.
She literally did it all by herself. And I have no idea how. And then I listened to this album. And I was like, oh, no, I get it. Like,
yeah.
She's not just somebody who tells jokes. She's not just funny. Like, she literally, like, the whole album's just like.
That's
it. Made sense why she could pull off a show that was so extensive like that.
What's crazy is there are, and I'm sure there are more, but there are two careers that have similar trajectories like this that are her and Whoopi Goldberg, and they both start with one-woman shows. Goldberg's is kind of great as well. Not kind of. It's brilliant. if I'm not mistaken, it won a Grammy. She might have gotten a Tony for it. It's
seriously.
Just, yeah, it's really just fucking like, It's hard to listen to because it's really like fucking rough, but also so funny at the same time.
What's it? Do you know what it's called?
Oh my god! You put
Google.
Me on the spot. It's fine, but I'm gonna look it up because we have talked about it on this show. I'll look up because it's only the one album she ever released. I looked it up. It's called Whoopi Goldberg. So
classic.
I'm an asshole. but I don't know. This is not a thing that guys do, and I think the amount of work that goes into just a one-woman show with all these different characters where you have to be distinct and fucking show everything that's inside of your fucking brain at once, a dude can get up there and tell jokes and get a career. And at that time, that's the kind of shit that was happening. Like, she would go, Lily Tomlin went on to, like, The Tonight Show, and Johnny Carson would be making, like, secret little snide cracks about her being gay. And it's just like, fuck yourself. I'm here to, you know, to promote my shit. Just so, like, the woman had to work that hard, even though she'd already gotten to the ultimate, you know what I'm saying? So, you can't comment on it because you weren't alive then, but why don't you comment on any similar experience you're having now as an actress? Because you're an actress. You're a funny lady.
I am. I'm funny.
You're very funny.
It's funny that I'm funny because a lot of people wouldn't assume that I am. Again, it's a lot of it like looks. Mm-hmm. Like usually you got to either be like pretty or you got to be funny. Mm-hmm. Well, my fortune or misfortune in life was like I was like the chubby, not cute friend in my group. So like I grew a personality along the way.
Sure.
So but a lot of times, like if you look at my headshot, I don't get to be cast in a lot of those roles just because that isn't the look that I.
Right.
I portray. So, right. No, yeah. No, I get that. No. Yep. No, women aren't. We don't get the credit for being funny.
Right. And Lily Tomlin,
which
is...
We still don't. It's insane.
It's weird, because Lily Tomlin is gorgeous, but, like, at the same time, she looks different enough and interesting enough where people are like, I bet she's got some personality there. It is a weird, dumb fucking...
Well, like, and then finally, like, I didn't... So, like, 9 to 5, Jane got to play, like, the straight lady, right? Yep. Great. But then finally, like in Grace and Frankie, she's fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
She's like they're polar opposites in their humor, and like that's the great thing about Jane's character in that is that she gets to be funny and still just be fucking Jane Fonda. It's great. Right. Yeah, I don't know, it was refreshing. Like these women still pave the way, and yet I'm still clawing my way through.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that happened a ton for these ladies too. I'm now wondering though. I don't even know what to ask you. This is your first comedy album. I didn't realize that I was exposing you to your first comedy album.
I thought I told you. I thought that's why I remember when I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
Like,
I didn't understand it was because of that specifically. Oh, to be fair, when we've talked about it, it's been drunk at a drinking game.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, has come up a million times in the show. Hopefully people by now know what that is.
Yeah, that's how I know Jason. Mm-hmm. Is that I'm in that. And so, like, I guess, I don't know, a lot of my... I was, like, terrified to come on the show. Because, one, I don't know a lot about comedy albums or anything, frankly. And then, two, like, I just, like, as you know, I'm, like, a perfectionist. I either have to do everything just right or I just don't do it at all.
Right.
Like...
Well, at some point you learn that there is no such thing as just right. And you can either say, fuck it, which is what I've done, or... you can just keep trying harder, which is probably what you'll do because you try hard and you'll succeed. It's fine. I was going to pull up some notes about the album, but I want to know first, like...
It was a weird album. Okay, so, like, from what I know about comedy albums and, like, what I've seen portrayed or talked about or whatever.
Yeah.
This, like, started off, like, so fucking weird that I was like, oh, my God. Like, this is, like, not what I thought it would be at all. Because she starts off, like, talking to herself in two different characters, like, in her and her other character. And then, like... I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to hate this.
Right.
Because it's, like, her just having an interview. And then finally, as, like, it went on, like, all the different clips, I was like, okay, this is fucking great. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I ended up just being shocked at that people actually just listen to this. And, like, you can't see that physical humor. And I know that she's just a physically fun character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I will admit that, like, half of it, I was like, this is brilliant. Like, how she can do this, like, I still don't know any comedians that can do what she did in this. And then the other half, I was like, meh.
Right. So. That's fine. But, like, that's absolutely
it's
fine.
It's the bits where she just goes, like, on a monologue, and she's talking like this, and she's got this whole thing, and she's, like, so well-crafted, yet she just goes. And like I said, like, any stand-up that I have seen, nobody holds a torch to what she did in parts of this at all.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, and I picked this album because it's one that people don't talk about, which is weird to me because the format is not something anybody's ever done.
Yeah.
Before or since that I know of. There will be some nerd out there who corrects me, but there's, number one, it is the format of it, for anybody who hasn't heard it, is she's being interviewed about the making of her album. And there are then clips of her live shows, which is what her other albums are. Her other albums are mostly her one-woman shows in character or characters. Like, I've got one that's just her doing Ernestine, the operator character. And then another one that's doing 10 or 12 different characters in different little scenarios that are either really funny or kind of sad or dramatic or interesting. And so it's a mix of that. But then there's some stuff that's sketch, which she doesn't normally do either, where there's no audience, where she's just doing a character. I think that's the stuff I like the least, if I've got to pick something, but I really like this stuff in between, and there are a couple, like, onstage characters that blew my fucking mind, and re-listening to it, thank God,
what
was really funny.
What was the one that, like, sticks out in your mind the most?
Susie Sorority.
That was the one that, like, I'm talking about that monologue, and you're just like, this woman is genius. It's like stand-up people, it's like they gotta, like, find their jokes. They're like, so this is my next joke. But she, like, has this thing, and it feels so off the cuff. It doesn't feel, like, memorized at all like it would be in a play, and it's just so good.
Yeah,
like,
it kind of hurts.
Is the one that, and, like, impressed me so much. And then to even talk about something that I'm sure at the time people, like, didn't give a fuck about.
Right.
Women and, like, sorority girls nonetheless. Uh-huh. Like, it was, I loved it. That bitch's got balls.
She says the word okay about 2 dozen times. And okay. Yeah. Just a second, you guys. Like, she's just, like, playing it so fucking intense. And so I feel like she definitely knew these people, this kind of person.
Yeah.
Because she grew up in an era where, like, college life was this very specific thing that has mm-hmm. since been put in movies and an album. Well, yeah, this is 75. So this is... Is this the same year Animal House came out? I'm probably wrong. It's like 78. Whatever. Please, nobody correct me. But it's around the same time where, like, college humor was a new big thing for people to love and talk about. What was your favorite? Is that your favorite character then?
Yes. And then, oh my God, and then Mrs. Beasley. Was it, which mm-hmm. one was that? The first clip of that one was, like, also really great.
Mm-hmm. Wait, which one is that? Wait, sorry, is that the Rubber Freak or is that somebody
else? No, not the Rubber Freak. The Rubber Freak was probably my least favorite.
Really?
Because I had no idea what the fuck I was listening to.
Yeah.
My first album, and it opens with that. And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't get it. No, it's all of, like, her little ones that are, like, stand-up bits that, like, I thought were the funniest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those were good.
Just listening to her and the energy of the audience that she's performing in front of.
You can just tell that, like, she, I don't know, she commands the stage and I can't even fucking see the stage. Like, that is Lily.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of people even still do that today. So I've been watching a lot of stand-up on Netflix recently and I'm just like, I can't even see her, and I know she's doing a better job than what these people I've been watching.
Yeah.
Doing, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, there's so much energy, there's so much character, and it's weird because it's not a thing. Nobody does one-person shows anymore.
Right.
Or if they do, they're not going to commit it to a Netflix or to an album.
Right.
It's just like, this is a thing I hope gets me noticed.
It's going to be some random jabroni with a story that they think needs to be told definitely doesn't.
Yeah.
In, like, some back alley New York stage, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's for them. It is, ego. Let's talk about your comedy influences for a minute then. So if this is, because this is like, so Lily Tomlin is not, like, you like her, and but
adore
it doesn't
her.
Go back forever for you.
No. Okay, so, like, I'm a 90s baby, so, like, sure. I think that I missed a lot of, like, the what people consider the greats in comedy.
Well, the people who are shoving comedy down your throat think that you don't have to take their word for it.
That's true.
It's whatever influenced you. So what's the stuff that you love the most, or people?
If I could have, like, be like anyone, it would be, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, for sure.
That's perfect.
I mean, like, Veep is,
like,
my
genius.
Style of comedy, I think. I like, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, a lot of stuff, like, these days is, like, so slapsticky, but I think mm-hmm. just her as an entity is perfection. She is comedy gold in my mind. Like, mm-hmm. I like that quick, sharp, like, ensemble. Like, you didn't even catch the 10 other jokes that are in there. You have to rewatch it to catch 10 more jokes that you didn't even,
right.
Like, that would be my style. I love it. But then again, on the other hand, I love the style of, like, Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay, yeah.
Completely opposite styles, but I love that. I think that's why I like Marvelous Miss Maisel, which a lot of people don't like about it, is that grandeur, that mm-hmm. almost, like, theatrical vibe about it. I like that.
I love that.
I love it, too. And a lot of, like, I guess a lot of, like, people that I talk to out here, they're like, ugh, it's so obnoxious. That's what I love about it. I like the grandeur.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, kill me. I'm going to kill myself for forgetting her name. The blonde girl on Kimmy Schmidt does Broadway. She was also in... she was on...
She's on 30 Rock.
Yes, mm-hmm. 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm. It's not Jane Krakowski. It is Jane Krakowski.
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Her, like...
Yeah.
She, I think, is just gold. Mm-hmm. I think that bitch is just flawless. I would say that those are my two.
That's good. Yeah. Now, did either of them make you want to act, or is there, like, something specific that pulled that bug? Like,
no, I mean, God, I've wanted to do it since I was, like, 6. And mm-hmm. I can remember the moment where I thought, this is going to be what... Who Framed Roger Rabbit? And I don't know why, but I remember being, like, 6 and being like, yep, that's what I should do. And I just stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it so much that I just kind of, like, was like, well, fuck, I can't back out now. You know what I mean?
Were you disappointed you couldn't become a cartoon character, or was there someone else that
influenced
you?
No, but I remember my teachers would take me from classroom to classroom to talk to the other teachers and be like, listen to this impression she does. And I'd just be like this tiny little 6-year-old with this big boof of hair just being like, hey, honey, why don't you come down and see me sometime? But, like, I'm 6 and it's just not right. But
right.
I don't know. What Lily said in the in her album was like, well, people were already laughing at me, so I just figured that I should just try and make them laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what I ran with.
I like some of the little asides that are clearly her.
Yes. I hated the interview format in the beginning, and then mm-hmm. halfway through I was like, this bitch is genius. Like, mm-hmm. she literally is just like, nobody asks me all these good questions, and I mm-hmm. want to talk about it. So, oh, yeah, here, let me tell you why I'm doing this. It's, mm-hmm. yeah, I loved it. Like, once I got used to it, it was really good.
The interview provides one of my favorite moments in the whole thing. And me re-listening to it today is only the second or third time I've listened to it, because I don't want to ruin it for myself. So there's a moment where the interview character, again, played by her, asks her something to the effect of, sir, what was it like having to play a heterosexual woman? And she's like, well, you don't have to be one to play one. She's like making fun of all these like heterosexual people playing gay folks and shit. I just love it so, 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 so much.
Okay, so people are going to literally just like dog on me so much mm-hmm. because people are evil in comments, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that mm-hmm. she was even gay until like this album.
Why would you know that? You don't need to. Exactly. It's none of your, she's
very like.
But the
fact that people
like
bring it up so often, as like you have pointed out, like mm-hmm. I had no fucking idea. And it literally has not affected me and my view and her humor
sure.
at all.
Of
as
course.
It shouldn't, but like.
Right.
Still astounding that that's such a big deal when I literally have gone my whole life not knowing, and it has not affected me one bit.
I know, but she's like, and it's one of those things I'm sure she's been fighting left and fucking right.
Right.
And so like she's never been, I don't think she's ever been closeted about it, but she only talks about it when it's necessary, you know, because
right.
it's her life. But I think the reason I bring it up so much is like, at the time, I think she's probably the only gay lady making comedy albums, at least this big. Not the
right.
only. I know others. I don't know if they're all out, but I know there are others.
Somebody will leave
for
her
sure.
in a comment for
yeah,
you.
Oh, 100% they will, and I won't read it. I'll read the nice ones. It'd be nice if there's like a little place where you could go where only the nice ones
pop up.
Yeah,
wouldn't that be?
So
God,
great.
People are vicious. Mm-hmm. Like, I did this random ass like guitar app thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Commercial. Just like, hey, we need you for 2 hours. I was like, okay.
Uh-huh.
And people are just awful, and I don't know why I looked. I've never looked until somebody was like, oh my god, are you saying what people are saying?
Oh,
like,
no.
Dead in your eyes, she doesn't play guitar. And I'm like, I just want to be like, you're right, I don't, I got paid.
I'm an actress.
And also, lying. Oh, that was the thing. Lying eyes. Oh, damn, dude.
Whoa.
Like, I've got lying eyes.
That is what we
she
call.
She still uses YouTube.
That's what we call guys who just hate women professionally.
Series,
that's kind of
it was
what
in,
that is.
It's genuinely insane that people have a lot of fucking time on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Be funnier, at least.
Yeah, for real,
be
right?
Be funny.
Normally, I would like get to this right at the end, but I want to get into it now. Do you have an interest in listening to other comedy albums now?
Yes, mainly. That sounds so fucked up. Yes, mainly because I'm just curious, just because I don't know. And if this
mm-hmm.
is like the format that I'm like jumping head first in with, I'm curious to see what it is and see. I guess I would be interested to see, like, listen to a male one too, just because I want to hear the.
I have a dude one I could recommend to parallel this.
Okay.
That I would say is equally good, but still different.
Right.
Just in terms of mixing formats. Like, I like this because it mixes formats so much.
Wait,
go ahead.
Are they typically, like, usually just, like, essentially, like, a stand-up routine, but somebody's recorded it?
Yeah, either
like, that's what I had always
live
assumed.
Stand-up or sketch, which is some of my favorite shit. None of that's live, usually.
Okay.
Or improv, which is like that Nichols and May right there. That's usually live improv. That was on Broadway. Like, they were doing sketches based on their improv.
I like her. I already
Broadway.
Like
she's
her.
She's a fucking genius.
She looks like my type of lady.
She's still around, and she's a fucking genius. She's written a lot of stuff, too, that you probably have seen and didn't realize she wrote, because I felt like an idiot not realizing she wrote The Birdcage.
Okay.
She wrote The fucking Birdcage. And then there's, you know, there's musical comedy like Weird Al, and then, yeah, just straight stand-up or one-person shows, and those are way rarer.
Okay.
And usually women, from what I've seen, again, like, you know.
I believe that.
I definitely can give you samples to choose from at some point, because then you'll get an idea of, like, the other places she's drawing from, including her own stuff.
Right.
Which I think I just hit my keyboard. boy, I just, now, there's just a world of possibilities and a lot of stuff. But I will also warn you, like, I tried in 2 years ago, tried to listen to a comedy album a day.
Okay.
And I failed.
That's understandable.
Because comedy albums are not good. A lot of them are terrible, and I love them more than anything.
I believe.
But there are a lot that are shit. Like, especially if I'm pulling out, hey, who's this? white guy from 1965. Okay, nope, done. Like, it's just like, there's just some crazy shit.
There is. I mean, like, fuck, I already hate a lot of, like, some stand-up. Like, I'm watching some of the biggest names on, like, mm-hmm. their, like, Netflix special or whatever. I'm like, God, this fucking sucks. And it's, like, current, and I relate yeah. to it, and it's a woman. And, like,
yeah.
so I can only imagine what something, like, decades old that you don't actually know anything about, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. walking 10 miles to school in the snow is like. So, like, you know, I imagine there's a lot of garbage.
Yeah, but, there is a lot of garbage. But it's yeah. kind of, for me, it's fun to wade through, but, like, I'm the person doing the work. I wouldn't recommend everybody wade through 600 albums.
You
got a long road ahead of me.
You do your thing.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to, and it's gonna be you.
But I will send you the best examples.
Please, please do.
Like, no shit. Well, one or two pieces of shit, but I'll warn you ahead okay. of time that this is garbage.
Hey, my cherries pop. Keep going. You know what I mean?
That's... Boy, no one's ever said that on the show, and I hope no one ever says it again. But, where the hell are my notes? Okay, so what were your thoughts? Okay, so we've talked about some of the interstitials. We've talked about the stage stuff. We've talked about, like, your favorite character. What about, like, there are a couple bits that are clearly just sketch with no audience. Like, where she's doing that weird one at the very end, which is, like, a jazz lady or whatever the hell she's supposed to be.
Which one? You should play a little bit of that for me and remind me of which one, like, that was. Because there was... Yeah, some of them I would be, like, just, like, starting to tune out. I was like, sure. Oh, that's... I gotta go back and remember that one. And then there was other ones, and I was like, this is fucking great. Where it's just, like, her having random little one-liners, and I was like, that's genius.
Yeah, that's like, genius. That's my favorite stuff on here.
Right, exactly.
It's
and
just
then,
her talking.
But it was. There's, like, a lot of random, weird characters, and I'm mm-hmm. like, who are... What is this?
The two she was best known for... again, before a generation rediscovered her in movies and stuff,
right.
Are Ernestine, which is the phone operator, which is a thing that doesn't exist anymore, which is almost impossible to explain to people.
Right.
And Edith Ann, the little kid.
Oh, that's right. The one that talked about penises and sex and stuff.
Yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was, again, that wasn't my favorite. It was the one mm-hmm. right after that I enjoyed more.
Mm-hmm.
But God, she's like has such a great voice. Like when she's doing like her interview voice, I'm like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Melt a little bit.
Yeah.
And, damn, Lily.
And the interviewer is such a silly fucking choice too.
Yeah.
But she's got to differentiate herself enough and right. make the interviewer sound stupid.
I wonder. I'm sure she's probably been interviewed by somebody who sounds literally that ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can only imagine. She's a genius. That's great.
Yeah.
Ask me another question.
Okay. Ask you another question. Hey everybody, it's Jason. This week, Comedy on Vinyl is proudly sponsored by $300 Data Recovery, and there's a very good reason for that. That's because there would be no episode this week without them, and we'd have had to start the entire show from scratch if we hadn't found out about their services. So, as you probably saw online a few weeks ago, my hard drive crashed. That was 6 terabytes, almost 1 million files, and they recovered everything for me. This was not an easy order either. I had 4 drives in one enclosure in a RAID setup, meaning you can't just plug in the drives and copy stuff over. They took my drives, examined them, determined whether or not they needed to open my drives up in their clean room. Luckily, they didn't for me, which sped some things up. And then they copied everything over to a very large USB drive for me. Their rates are reasonable, as little as $300 a drive, hence the name. And they don't just work locally. You can send your drives into them. So go to $300datarecovery.com. That's the number 300, then $datarecovery.com. Check them out, and once you do, back that stuff up again. That's a big thing. I had a hard drive that was supposed to be foolproof, and it wasn't. And $300 Data Recovery helped me out, saving 26-plus years of writing, art, photos, videos, everything, including this podcast. So check out $300 Data Recovery and let them know that Jason from Comedy on Vinyl sent you. Now, back to the show.
So I refound it. It is the two Mrs. Beasley
yes.
clips. Like, again, I liked it so much just because it was just, like, a well-rounded character, and it was, like, the monologue-y type ones that, but like, were on stage, and it was just like, she clearly knew these characters inside and out,
yeah.
where she could just like go, which is what I don't know. They were just like perfectly well. They were real people. Like you could
yeah.
see these people, and I think that's where I resonated the most with her humor, more so than like the kid one,
uh-huh.
which is like fine, but I think that just seems so much more like an act versus like her being these crazy like
okay.
women. That's what I liked.
I can see that.
Yeah.
That
but then again, sense. It's like the actor in her. She's not just like telling jokes. It's mm-hmm. like she's like playing characters, which a lot of people don't, at least I haven't seen today in
mm-hmm.
in stand-up.
No, it doesn't happen as much. No. If it's a character, it's like it carries through your entire thing and then it's not. Yeah. I mean, which is why if you mix it up, it's more obvious that, oh, you're a performer, not just some freak.
Right. who's like an asshole and has a bunch of like jokes that are awful and people happen to find. But
that's just
the
a character I do. Fuck yourself. It's, you know, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is that, like, okay, so she's of an age where every, let's see, so this is 75. I'm just trying to look at this wall of comedy albums. There's so many in there and among the other ones I have that if they were created by baby boomers, there's this weird attachment and this early understanding of TV tropes and radio tropes where it's like, isn't it funny that I'm doing a bit about advertising? But I like that what is, that is still ringing true enough for you, but that her character portrayal is strong enough to carry it through.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah, that's what I'm, it's like, you're right, it's the character.
And she burns through it so fucking fast, though. That's what, like, I'm a terrible memorizer. So, like, just thinking of how involved she must have been in these characters.
Right. It, like I said, it's like a mini show. It's not just a monologue. It's not just like, oh, I have this, like, type of thing that I want to talk about. So, like, here's a joke, pause. Well, yeah, here's a joke. Or even just like, I'm going to sit in the character. Oh, you're going to laugh? I'm going to do the character more. But, like, she, like, just goes. Like, I've personally never heard in any form of comedy where I think that that's just so highly impressive compared to what other people do.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, she just, like, the audience is laughing and she's still just so deep in this character where it's like she could get lost and be there because it is, I don't know, this essence of her. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's good. I don't know. I've never heard it. Like, I'm,
that's
again,
good.
A noob, but
that's,
I've
absolutely
never heard
fine.
Like it.
There's not a lot like it, which, right, I think is why it was an okay choice. Good for me. but, and then the other one you liked again was the sorority.
Yeah, and it's the same thing, so where she is, right, like, just this well-rounded character, and she just monologues.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
Is this something you could see happening now, like, and succeeding? Is there, like, you don't have to know anybody who could do it, but do you, could you see it working in stand-up?
Yeah, because I think it's the relatability. Mm-hmm. It's not a word.
It's a word.
Is it a word?
Yeah,
let me go.
Word. Yeah,
okay.
Look at you.
It's a relatability that it's, I think that what people latch onto, mm-hmm, it's like, oh, you can say a bunch of, like, asshole things, and, well, yeah, it's funny, we've all thought that, but, like, it's those ridiculous people that you don't get to laugh out in your everyday because, you know, you're succeeding in, like, society and you're not allowed to laugh at these people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to actually, like, get to watch her do that. And I mean, I think if people did that today, I think it would actually be more, I don't, I'm almost, like, more successful because we're not allowed to say anything and laugh at these people.
Sure.
No, like, I want to laugh at these fucking people I meet every day, but nobody's being them, so I think it would work.
I'm also equally impressed that, like, it's one thing to be super committed to a show and even a one-person show, and,
right,
like, you're putting your guts, your whole soul into it, right? Mm-hmm. It all pours out. You got all the lines memorized. You're doing great. You're wonderful. People love you. But to do that for, like, 8 to 10 characters a show? That's,
yeah,
something I don't understand, and I don't know how somebody does.
No, with the show that I saw that wasn't a one-woman show that, mm-hmm, she had done as a one-woman show,
right.
It wasn't even just a comedy show. Like, there were points where I was crying.
Yeah.
And she's there's these, like, big protests and talking about, like, you know, losing people.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was this gut-wrenching show, and then it would skip over to, like, this, like, homeless crazy person that, like, mm-hmm, talks to aliens, but, like, is, like, so wise. So it's, like, insane that I have no idea how to play one part would be, like, enough to, like, induce, like, sweaty palms and, like, some, like,
mm-hmm,
nervous, like, gags from me just, like, thinking about memorizing that one character, and she just somehow did them all.
Yeah.
And, like, again, it wasn't just this, like, funny bit where it's, like, if she got lost, she could just go and continue to make jokes with someone else. It was, like, a full-blown fucking play with all of these different characters that all individually had different arcs. It was,
yeah,
astounding. Like, I cannot personally even fathom how the fuck she did it.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, the play was beautiful.
Yeah.
I cried.
When did you see it again?
Like, a couple years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, like, they brought her, like, she came to it, like, multiple nights, apparently, just,
wow,
to, like, support these people.
That's
that
awesome.
Were amazing in it, but, like, could never fucking do what she did.
Right.
I truly don't know how she did it.
And the crazy thing is, it's one of those things, if you've written it and created it, you don't have to do all those characters.
No.
But that's what's in her and had to explode out onto a stage.
Right. And I don't know if she even, I wrote it, I don't even think that she, God, I don't know, I'll have to Google it later. Somebody will tell me in the comments.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But I don't think she wrote it, but it was this.
Oh, okay.
But, like, these were characters that were just so beautifully well-developed. And the writing was amazing. So, like, I can't imagine it being a one-woman show. I can't.
Uh-huh.
I really can't. And I'm sure, like, I don't know. I don't know if it would be better or worse. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, like, what she did was amazing, but, like, oh my God, it was just really, I don't know. It was so fucking cool. I have no idea how anybody could do that.
Well, it weirdly lends to this, like, if you're seeing one person do it, you're like, I guess it hammers home the whole idea that these are multiple facets of the same humanity, I guess, if it's one person doing it.
Yeah.
So that's different, because then otherwise you're like, well, what's the theme? And if you see one person who's able to pull all that out of themselves.
That's true. I mean, maybe. Yeah.
That's just
And it was all like, it was something. I would highly recommend at least reading the play.
Okay. So Search for Intelligent Life was written by Jane Wagner, who is Lily's wife. So that's...
There we okay. go.
So
okay.
I had a feeling, maybe, but I didn't want to say. But no, I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's good.
It was lovely.
That's awesome.
We stood in line for the bathroom together.
Really?
Oh my God. I was just texting my mom the whole time. Like, you'll never guess who I'm next to.
Right.
Because I don't nerd out when I see famous people often.
Right.
It's always like random Food Network stars that like get me going. Mm-hmm. versus like the cool kids. I don't know.
Are there any people that you know did comedy albums or who you really love who maybe they did a comedy album and you don't know? Is there somebody like who, I don't know, that you'd like to hear from? I want to know.
Like, I mean, I wouldn't even, I like, does Ricky Gervais have one? I just love.
He has
an album.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that motherfucker.
His stand-up is different. I haven't listened to the albums, to be fair.
Okay.
I do have one album he did, which was in character as David Brent from The Office, and it's okay. All his music. That was fine for me.
Okay.
I don't know if I can handle his stand-up.
You're not a big Ricky fan?
I am. Okay. Of some of his work.
Okay. Like, what's your favorite? Like,
I mean, The Office is great.
I don't know, man. Have you seen Derek?
Yeah.
I literally have...
That's
how I'm always astounded when people are like, I tried it. And I'm like, I've watched that shit.
Playing a retarded guy.
And he does it flawlessly. Like, right. I mean, it is beautiful and not inappropriate in any way. You would assume Ricky Gervais, kind of an asshole, God mm-hmm. bless, love him, mm-hmm. playing a mentally handicapped person. Mm-hmm. You would assume that it's just going to be crude and crass and
sure,
awful.
And it's not
it wasn't.
That.
It is the most heartfelt show. I've literally watched it 3 times all the way through. I fucking mm-hmm. love it. I cry and I laugh every episode.
Right.
Like, how enthused people are about, like, This Is Us. That's how I feel about Derek. I like it way better than his new show. What is Afterlife?
No idea. Haven't seen it.
Oh, it's okay. The one thing about him that I do love is that he pulls back everybody he has ever worked with. Like, it's the same people over and over again.
Right.
You should actually probably try and rewatch it.
Maybe.
What is it? Like, what do you have against him?
The idea of portraying a person who is mentally disabled is insensitive to me. That's my problem.
But, like, what about Leonardo DiCaprio?
What about him?
He did.
Yeah, in What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Yeah.
I don't like that movie.
Okay. Well, that's fair. But, like, the rest of the show, like, it ends up being, like, my God, he is, like, the best human that is on the earth.
Sure.
And everybody talks about how, like, Derek has changed and bettered their lives, and it's...
Uh-huh. No, and that's fine, and that's positive.
And
it's a little
Wait for
much.
Kevin to get in, and his little homeless drunk friend is mm-hmm. fucking... His humor, I mean, untouchable. That man is fucking hilarious.
I just can't tell if Ricky Gervais is making fun of people or not half the time. I'm suspicious
he's,
of him
with
at all times.
Derek, no, he's not. I think that... He's not. I don't think you do it that tastefully and have the show being rooting for people who are... he clearly has, like, a soft spot for elderly people because it's in two of his shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would he...
Who hates elderly people?
So many people hate elderly people.
That's true.
Oh, my God.
There's plenty of people who do.
Or at least don't give a shit.
I could possibly give it another shot. I don't hate Ricky Gervais.
You should. Make it through at least 2 episodes and then we can talk.
He's annoying, but I don't hate him.
All right.
He's obnoxious. I'm not saying he's not funny.
I highly enjoy him.
That's fine.
Then again, him and I are just, like, trying to save all the animals, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I've got
I like that part of him. All right. So, anybody else? Let's talk about some movie stars growing up. Who are your favorite movie stars growing up?
Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman.
Neither
one of them.
Released a comedy album.
No, but Sandy B is fucking hilarious.
Sure.
Her comedic timing is rock solid.
Yeah, she's brilliant. Did you see Ocean's 8? I actually really liked it. A lot of people
did. I did see Ocean's 8, and I really did not like it.
You didn't?
No.
I loved it.
What was there? It was like just fun. It was just so quick and chopping, like, oh, here's the plot, and we did it.
Yeah, it's just like the original Ocean's 11. I think it was better than Ocean's 11.
What?
Yeah.
I'm a woman, and I don't even say, oh, my God. Nah.
I don't care about those guys.
No. I just felt so rushed.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I didn't feel that way with Ocean's 11. Mm. Okay.
I don't know.
Anyways.
But I like Sandra Bullock as well.
Good.
We're both on board with
Have
Sandra
you
Bullock.
Heard the rumor that she, like, if she's doing a drinking scene with, like, another woman, like, mm-hmm. they drink. Like, that is her thing, is that she, like, wants to.
She should be on our show.
That's gonna be me one day, just being like, so we're gonna do this, okay, just give me another drink and it's gonna be great. It's gonna be best movies ever.
I'm now like racking my brain as to which ones I should. I mean, mostly the ones on the wall I probably will be able to recommend to you.
Yes.
That doesn't mean you're gonna like them, but I can recommend most of them to you. Is that right? Yeah, most of them. Some of them are gonna be too much. Like, that Firesign album is great, but it's a specific taste, and it's not the first of their albums I would introduce anybody to.
Okay. Well, I like things. I like, you know, like Monty Python and stuff like that. I appreciate that humor. I'm not just all jokes and jerks. I don't know. Because, you know, Ricky Gervais is a jerk.
Sure. No, that's fine.
But I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if we want to talk women in comedy, so stand-up.
Yeah.
I have recently watched Elder Millennial, which is that Eliza one.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I just watched Amy Schumer's new one.
Uh-huh.
The one where she's, like, pregnant and shit.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have to say, I just have never found Amy Schumer funny on stand-up at all.
That's okay.
I think that she's, like, her jokes are just so underdeveloped, and it's just always like, wow, I said that literally, like, 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I said that at dinner literally last night. Like, come on, give me something.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like Elder Millennial. That girl, I think, is fucking rock solid. I literally laughed and almost peed one night in my bed to the point where, like, I could not breathe. I don't know. She has this bit about women and just, like, babies and stuff. And she's like, oh, yeah, women are just like, oh, yeah, you want to hold my baby, random strange lady? Go for it. Yeah. And then you're just like, I want to eat the baby. And then, but, you know, if a man was like, hey, can I hold your baby? You would be like, no. No. Anyways. So, yeah, I would say that those two extremely different. And I liked the less mainstream one. I think Amy Schumer's a disappointment. Well, love her in her movies, though.
Sure. Well, I like that you're watching a lot of these on Netflix. Are there any that would ever convince you enough to buy one of them to listen to them and keep in your back pocket in your phone?
Robin Williams would probably be the only. Because I'm trying to think. Because, as somebody who doesn't know a lot of stand-up, thank God for Netflix and HBO with their specials, because that's the only way that I've ever been able to see it, being from, like, Podunk, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stand-up doesn't even exist out there, and then if it does, you don't want to see it. So, I mean, like, I remember the first special I ever saw was Robin Williams on HBO, and I think I would gladly buy any of his, because his were, hilarious. Even when I was way too young to even appreciate the jokes. Hilarious.
Well, of course, because he's like, it's Robin fucking Williams.
Yeah.
Do you know which one you saw? Was it one from the 80s, or was it that one that he did in the 2000s?
One he did in the 2000s.
Okay.
Yeah, he talks about going down on his wife, and, like,
and
he also talks
his
about
face in his elbow.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I specifically remember that, and the golf bit. He talks about being drunk and the Scottish people coming up with
that's right
fucking golf. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I was a child and saw that and was still, like, stuck with me that much, I think really says a lot to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's brilliant, and those ones are fun to listen to. There's some stuff that doesn't age as well, but that's always going to happen.
Right.
So you're allowed to pick and choose.
Like, inappropriate things?
Yeah. Like, inappropriate, and, like, you don't need to do that voice right now. It's maybe not necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's also, the man was clearly like, I'm going to say the first thing that pops into my head.
Yeah, I mean, he was.
And his voices were not always sensitive. That's just going to happen.
But, like, that's, like, all comedy, though. Comedy doesn't usually age well, because it's all about doing the inappropriate things that you don't want to talk about and say and do.
That's true. That is fair. There are just, some that age better.
Do you have a line that, like, what do you think is, like, I mean, do you have something that you're like, that'll never be funny? Like, so, okay, Larry David, he likes, like, they've interviewed him, and he's like, "Is there anything you wouldn't do?" And he's like, "If it's funny, No. Yeah, anything, well, anything's fair play as long as it's funny.
Rich people say that. Now,
rich
here's
people
the thing.
Say a lot of things.
It's the thing. I think you can. I do think you can make a joke about anything and have it genuinely be funny,
right,
and have it actually make a comment on it. I just think most of the time, most when people make those jokes, they make the easy version of those jokes and they punch down.
Okay.
I think there you can make a joke about rape, and but it can make a point about it, and great.
Right.
But generally, like, be like, no, of course everybody can. No, not everybody. Only people who get it.
Right.
And that's mostly not going to be guys. And guys are making the most of those jokes.
Yeah.
It's that, like, you can make a joke about abortion, AIDS, whatever the fuck you want. It's just got to be told right. And also, like, yeah, we're used to, as Americans, we're like,
I can say what I want because it's, you know, the First Amendment. I almost said the Second Amendment. The First Amendment.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want. No one's ever said you can't. You're not censored. We live in America. But if you're a comedian and you're like, your stock in trade is words, choose them carefully.
Yeah. Be better. Be
like,
smarter. Yeah.
Why say the first thing that pops into your head? That's not how a joke goes. Like, that's just saying shit.
Right.
A joke is, I took some time and thought this through.
Yeah.
Most
should
of
be
the
crafted.
Time it just doesn't, yeah. Most of the time it doesn't happen.
Ricky Gervais does talk about that.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
In his most recent thing, because mm-hmm. he gets like a lot of slack on like fucking social media, right? So
yeah,
he talks
he's
about
a shithead.
Like, yeah, but he talks about, like, here's why this is a joke that is actually crafted, and I'm not making fun of mm-hmm. trans people. I'm making fun of you for making fun of this, for making fun of, like, he talks mm-hmm. about, like, will he at least...
Well, no, that's good. It's good that somebody thinks it through and talks about it. I respect that. I genuinely do. I'm not blowing that off. I actually genuinely appreciate somebody... Now, that said, he's a white man of extreme privilege, and therefore he is going to work logic circles around to make himself not the bad guy. I know... I'm a white guy. I've done it. I'm just saying. But again, I'm not dismissing it. I would listen to it before I dismiss it or watch it before.
You should.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's so many albums I want to introduce you to. I hate that that's what this episode is.
I don't even know what to say. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, who do you want to listen to? I'm like, I don't even
well,
know.
Well, what
my
would you know? Like, how would you know? That's fine.
Again, my first ever introduction to there being comedy albums mm-hmm. was a TV show that literally came out like 2 years ago.
What's so funny too about that is like that starts out talking about that very Bob Newhart album, which had not come out yet in the actual timeline of the world. The show's gets some of the facts wrong, which is what people get really anal about. I don't really care. That show is about what it feels like to do comedy and what it feels like to be in that world.
Right.
But that is one that maybe I would recommend listening to. It's brilliant. The Button Down Mind of Bob Newhart is pretty solid, and when you after you listen to it and then you realize that was like only his second time performing on stage.
What?
Yeah
all right,
yeah, it's genius. And anything Nichols and May is usually like they're hit and miss, but they are perfect. Perfect. And when you feel the tension between them as people, it's also like it's I don't know, they're two performers who just work so well together, and you feel the tension. Oh my god, there's so much I can. This is great.
Okay, I get it that you love comedy albums, but like,
a little bit.
Do you like feel like you lose anything when you're just listening to it, or do you?
No, it's all imagination. So you know, it's all in my head at this point. So I'm picturing them performing always because I've got a very active that part of my brain.
Good.
With the OCD and stuff.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of have
yeah,
to
yeah,
picture
yeah.
it to make everything complete.
Right.
It's just how it goes. So yeah, no, and that could be one of the many reasons I love it. It's like comfort food for that reason for me.
Oh, it's like reading, but the jokes are.
Mm-hmm.
Out loud. That's
I don't
nice.
Know how to read. That's the hard part too. I'm
nobody
illiterate.
Does.
No, not anymore.
No, seriously though, we won't get on that rant. Yeah. What happened?
I want to talk about. Okay, so let's talk about this album a little bit more.
Okay.
Why would you recommend this album to people? Would you actively recommend somebody listen to this if somebody said, "Hey, I want to listen to a comedy album"? You listen to that one?
Yeah, but I would tell them. Though they gotta like not judge it. Like I literally mm-hmm. was like, what the fuck? Like what have I gotten myself into? Like I'm not gonna have any. I thought it was just gonna be her interviewing but talking to herself
oh,
all
okay.
the time.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
No, but like once you actually get to her bits,
mm-hmm.
I would just take the time to actually sit there and like listen to the good parts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just I mean like don't write it off because she's doing a thing to get you to the good parts.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. No, I would. I would because I do. I think the monologue aspect of that. I think. It was just truly so well crafted that I don't think, again, enough people do that sort of thing. That I think that is worth listening to. Yes.
perfect.
Yes, I would recommend it.
Thank you, Tennille.
You're welcome.
So, do you, this is coming out today. Do you have anything you want to promote? This episode. So, do you have anything you want to promote?
God, no, I don't. And plus, I read in your comments, somebody's like, stop promoting. And I was like, well, guess what, person? I got nothing to
somebody
promote.
Somebody said that? Really?
Somebody was like,
that's the point of
just,
podcast, folks.
They're just promoting themselves. And I was like, well, yeah, I've I do got promote nothing. Myself. So, yeah. Nothing.
I would say I've got plenty to promote.
Go for it.
Dickhead who put that in the comments. we're in a drinking game together, usually once a month here in Los Angeles. We just did Jurassic Park. It was super fun.
Yeah.
You were a delight, as usual.
Apparently, I heard I ate too much Jell-O, and people were alarmed in the audience.
I think they assumed it was all alcoholic Jell-O.
Well, it is alcoholic Jell-O, but like not enough to really do anything. And I was so hungry. I'm so hungry by the end of the show that I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to eat this
Jell-O. Eat all that actual Jell-O. Yeah. That's really funny.
Plus, I ran out of booze, so like I was literally drinking and eating. Oh my god! Before drinking, anyway.
That's fucking funny. I will tell people to check out my Instagram, Jason Klamm, JASONKLAMM, because I've been doing stuff when I do extra work when I get it, because it's adorable and it's super fun. Hashtag the professional blur. Tennille, is there any place people can follow you though? You could at least tell them to follow you on Twitter or Instagram.
Oh my god, I'm like the worst millennial, especially like. I do not live up to, like, my millennial girl thing at all. I, like, fucking hate social media. I don't do anything with it. I don't... Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you could follow me at TennilleMarie. But, like, I literally don't even post anything.
That's absolutely
I'm going to share in May. That's about the most exciting thing for me right now.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Wait, is it here?
God, no. God, no. Like, I should be offended. No, I'm going back to Nebraska for it.
Oh, she's performing.
Like, yeah, it's my mom and my sister and me are going.
That sounds super fun.
So I'm going to promote Cher.
Please.
Because that is my religion.
Mm-hmm. So you do believe in life after love as well.
Oh, yeah. I believe in life after life. I don't know.
All right.
No, but yeah, Jason and I have done background together.
Yes, we have.
I got to meet Tony Hale once. If he had a fucking album, I would listen to him. In a heartbeat. Does he have an album?
God damn it, no.
Of course he doesn't do stand-up. All the people that I know don't have albums.
When's your first album coming out? You look so panicked. Yeah, it's just a dumb joke. No. My next album's coming out sometime later this year. Again, seriously? For that person who doesn't want to me to promote stuff. Yeah, my next comedy album.
I didn't even know you had... How do I not know these?
Several.
Like, I'm so out of the loop.
It's okay. That's the first one. Actually, that is the 16th anniversary album version of it.
That is precious. I would like to promote his albums.
Thank you so much,
Tia. You're welcome.
Well, thank you guys for listening. And as always, have a good thing. Comedy on Vinyl is a production of Stolen Dress Entertainment. It is produced by Mike Warden and is hosted and edited by Jason Klamm. Our theme song was composed and performed by Richard Levinson. You can email us at podcast@comedyonvinyl.com. You can also send snail mail to Stolen Dress Entertainment, P.O. Box 805, Burbank, California, 91503. Subscribe to Comedy on Vinyl on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you can find podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating and write us a review. It helps. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Comedy on Vinyl, or find everything in one place at comedyonvinyl.com. A major portion of Comedy on Vinyl has been underwritten by Stand Up Records. Please visit standuprecords.com for all your comedy needs and tune in to the new Stand Up Records channel available on the Roku, where you can also find select episodes of this podcast. This episode is also underwritten by $300 Data Recovery. Visit $300datarecovery.com to get a quote on their highly recommended data recovery services. Visit stolendress.com to listen to our other podcasts, watch videos, and imbibe freely of our multimedia content going back 15 plus years.